Chapter 9. Bellicose. Bellicose. B-E-L-L-I-C-O-S-E. Demonstrating aggression and willingness to fight. Late Middle English, from Latin bellicosus, from bellicus, warlike, from bellum, war. Despite what recent actions might make one assume, Kurama's not an idiot. He's very, very much not an idiot, and actually considers himself quite clever. He might even go so far as to say, very intelligent, should he be asked. The blame for his most recent lapses can be laid firmly at Naruto's door, and Kurama doesn't plan to allow himself many more. Given all of this, Kurama is fully aware that he can't take a 6-year-old Jinchuriki Akatsuki hunting with him. Even beyond the danger, there's the simple logistics of it. Kurama has no food, no clothes beyond those he's wearing, no one in all the world to turn to. There's only him, only Naruto. All his bridges back to Konoha most thoroughly burned by now. He only has himself to rely on. Because Naruto's only 6 and can't yet help him, can hardly even use chakra right now, and most certainly can't be expected to take care of himself while Kurama hunts down those who want to kill him. The smart thing to do would be to take him back to Konoha, or even just leave the boy where he is. There's no chance that the Hokage hasn't sent out pursuers, after all, and let him grow up in peace while Kurama finishes his mission. Then, maybe he can bargain his way back into the village and be a part of Naruto's life. This is another one of those stupid decisions Kurama's going to make. He can't let Naruto go, not if there's a chance he'll never see him again. And he can't, not now that he's set himself up as family. Naruto is his, and he's Naruto's. Konoha hasn't managed to get its collective head out of its collective ass yet, so the kid stays with him. Period. Kurama's not about to let him grow up in misery when there's anything at all he can do to prevent it. Still, that stupidity doesn't extend to dragging a practically defenseless 6-year-old to the mountain's graveyard with him, right into the waiting arms of 7 people who'd kill him the moment they got the chance. He's not about to let Konoha have him either. So, just about his only choice is to find somewhere safe to stash Naruto for the time being. Somewhere he can be happy. And if Kurama thought about it, he'd have grabbed Sasuke and Sakura on his way out, too. After all, kidnapping a clan head's son and the daughter of 2 well-respected Chunin could hardly make things worse than they already are, having made off with a pint-sized Jinchuriki. And Kurama is aware of just how much those 2 will come to mean to Naruto. He's determined that that, at least, isn't going to change, no matter what he has to do to ensure it. 1 brat instead of 3 is a hell of a lot easier to haul around, though, for which Kurama is definitely grateful. With a sigh, he tugs the heavy haori up a little, covering Naruto more completely. It's not nearly as cold as the Earth Country border, but there's still a bone-deep bite to the air once you stop moving. Kurama's feeling it right now. He dropped the bag with his new clothes back in Konoha, all but the haori, and he's now blessing whatever foresight made him pull it on. Him being cold is fine, but he's not about to make Naruto suffer through the same thing. Kurama's fairly certain there's a bit of a buffer between them and any hunters. He's fast, after all, and when he left, he was fleeing blindly, a fox's instinct to get away from the enemy driving him in a zigzagging line. There's at least enough time to let Naruto sleep for a bit, since the kid seemed bone tired. Not that Kurama blames him. It's not every day you get kidnapped by family that appears out of nowhere. With a low, heavy breath, he sinks to the ground next to Naruto, stretching his legs out in front of him and trying to ease some of the tension from his shoulders. Han's heavily abused shirt now has a charred, ragged-edged hole punched through it, as well as a new saturation of blood soaking it. But Kurama manages to pull and tuck the oversized edges enough that it's mostly invisible. Now the only thing left to focus on is the future. This, at least, should be familiar. Kurama has spent the better part of the last century plotting and planning, curled up in a human soul and waiting for the future to bring his freedom. But there was an edge of certainty to that, a knowledge that nothing would change even if he failed. Right now, if he fails, he'll lose Naruto, and that's not acceptable. Still, Naruto smiled at him. Naruto likes him. And even if the boy doesn't love him yet, Kurama knows his Jinchuriki. He's precious to Naruto just for having claimed a connection. And love will follow shortly. Naruto's big heart has always been his best feature. It will hurt to separate from the boy, even temporarily. And the mere thought of it is like needles digging under Kurama's skin, prying up whatever composure he's managed by the roots. Better to separate for a short time, though, than have Naruto stolen from him forever, either by Akatsuki or Konoha. And this way, Kurama will know that Naruto is safe, well out of any enemy's grasp. Which just leaves the problem of where to put him. With a groan, Kurama rakes his fingers through his hair, slumping forward over his bent knees and trying to think. He doesn't know anyone in this world, so far out of his own time. There's no one to turn to, no one to rely on. The only people he's met are Kakashi, Sarutobi, and Han and Kokuo. Kurama's first instinct is to seize on the idea and run with it, but it's not that great, actually. After all, Kakuzu was hunting Kokuo, or came across him by chance. And either way, that means the Bijuu is now firmly in Akatsuki's crosshairs. Kurama is inclined to trust Han, especially since Kokuo was actually working with him to drive Kakuzu off. And he knows that Kakuo is shy and quiet but steady. But leaving Naruto with them would be almost the same as dragging him along to the mountain's graveyard. Still, the idea sparks another, and Kurama immediately thinks of one of his Naruto's best friends. Tall and slender and as red-haired as any Uzumaki, for all that he doesn't know of any blood connections. Gaara is, admittedly, the same age as Naruto right now, but, well, maybe Kurama can beat some sense into Shukaku. The damned Tanuki has been calling himself Gaara's mother. It's about time he lived up to that claim. And Naruto adored Gaara in his time, loved him like a brother and one of his first real friends. Kurama's not about to steal that from the kid, even if it means massive changes to the timeline. Well, the first time around didn't work out so well. Might as well upend everything for a second try, right? So, it will take a bit of doing, and probably some skull-denting, but for all that Shukaku is a pissy, prissy bastard, he's still Kurama's brother. And Kurama knows that Shukaku mourned when Gaara died, in his own bloody way. He'd grown reckless afterwards, plunging into fights he should have kept back from, and that was how Kaguya caught him. A bad reaction to Gaara's death, Kurama thinks. And after these last few days, dealing with Naruto's death, he won't be convinced otherwise. A short distance away, the bushes rustle. Kurama's head snaps up automatically, his ears straining. There's no sense of human chakra, though, only natural. And he frowns, rising to his feet. The rustling continues, more like thrashing now, quiet and desperate. And with one last quick glance at Naruto, who's sleeping calmly, Kurama slips soundlessly towards the source of the noise. Around a tree, down a short hill, the undergrowth is waving. There's a bramble, long thorns, clear, even in the darkening twilight gloom, and Kurama can just make out a flash of scarlet fur between the branches. Well, that's all right then. Hey, Kurama says softly, crouching down beside the quivering bramble. Looks like you've gotten yourself into a bit of a mess, kid. Mind if I help you out there? There's a pause, careful and considering, and the small red fox twists to look at him, slit-pupiled amber eyes sharp and wary. Kurama raises an expectant brow, but doesn't otherwise move. And after a long moment, the fox gives a yip of nearly desperate agreement. With a soft snort, Kurama pushes his hands through the tightly woven branches, wincing as sharp thorns dig long furrows in his skin, but doesn't hesitate. There are more thorns dug deep into the fox's thick undercoat, knitted into the fur so thoroughly that even Kurama, with the advantage of opposable thumbs, has a hard time working them out. Still working on that second tail, huh? Kurama asks, over the sound of the fox's small grumbles of discomfort, trying to distract it. You should head to Mount Inari if you want it to go quicker. I've heard there's better hunting there, too. The fox barks at him reprovingly, apparently offended by the idea of taking such a shortcut, and Kurama rolls his eyes in response. Yeah, what do I know, right? I'm just the Kyubi no Kitsune. Haven't got a clue about any of this fox stuff. He snaps the last branch, carefully working it out of the fox's fur, and then withdraws his hands. There's blood covering the backs of them, all the way up past his wrists, but the scratches are shallow and already healing. There you go. Try it now. In a blur of scarlet, the fox wriggles out of the bush and into the open, shaking itself briskly. It turns, regarding Kurama carefully, and then slips over to him. A long tongue flicks out, taking a quick lick of the blood on his fingers, before it barks again. You're welcome, Kurama answers, because he knows a thank you when he hears one. Be a little more careful next time, all right? The fox yips, turning to present its back in clear offer, and Kurama can't help giving a soft huff of laughter. You sure? He asks pointedly. I don't know, kid. You might not survive having a human touch you. Well, more or less human. But why risk it? This time the fox doesn't answer, just gives him an impatient look. And Kurama shakes his head, but obediently reaches out, smoothing his hand over thick fur. Wish you had that second tail, he says a little wistfully. I could really use someone to vent to right now. But I'm glad I could help. Don't let anyone catch you getting into trouble, okay? It gives a guttural chatter, clearly amused with the order, and then turns and vanishes with a flick of its white-tipped tail. Kurama watches it go, before he pushes back to his feet. There's still no sense of approaching chakra, so he doesn't rush as he heads up to the small campsite. Though he doesn't dawdle, either. Naruto is still asleep, and though Kurama would like to let him sleep right through the night, he doesn't dare. Kakashi will probably be the one sent out after them, and he's a tracker. Kurama needs to put even more distance between them if he's going to have a hope of throwing him off the scent long enough to make it to Suna. It feels good to have a goal, though. Naruto was never much of one for plans, and honestly, Kurama can't say that he is either. But this whole thing is so slapdash and desperate that it feels like finally grounding himself to settle on a path. Come on, Naruto, he murmurs softly, sliding his hands underneath the boy's shoulders and knees. You don't have to get up right now. Just let me pick you up. We need to get going. Ochan? Naruto asks sleepily. But he doesn't resist when Kurama settles him against his shoulder again. One arm loops around his neck, making Kurama's breath catch at the simple sweetness of it. And a moment later, a head of messy yellow hair is tucked underneath his chin. Can we get ramen for dinner? Fuck. Food is going to be a problem. Kurama hasn't eaten since the inn, and his stomach feels uncomfortably hollowed out. Tanzaku Gai is too close to Konoha for them to risk doubling back, so Kurama is just going to have to hope he can catch something, or find a house. He still has money, so maybe a farmer will be willing to part with his lunch. "I'll try, kid," he says helplessly. "Sorry, we won't make it to Suna for another couple days, but I'll try to find a town somewhere and get you ramen." There's a pause as Naruto seems to come a little more awake, and he tips his head to look up at Kurama through one sky blue eye. "Suna?" he asks interestedly. Then he hesitates and asks, "We aren't gonna go back to Konoha?" If I take you back, they won't let me see you again," Kurama says. And, oh, Sage, phrased like that, it sounds so fucking selfish. He steals himself, takes a breath, and forces himself to think of Naruto, not his own needs. Even as he does so, though, he curls a hand in Naruto's bright hair, strokes over the small back, and aches. "Do you want to go back? If you think you'll be happier there, I can take you." Naruto pulls back to look at him fully, and he looks far too serious for a six-year-old. In mimicry of Kurama's own movements, he reaches out and twists his fingers into blood-red hair, holding tightly. "Will you come with me?" he asks solemnly. Kurama feels a little like he wants to cry again. "I can't," he says, and that's helpless too. I promised my best friend I'd do something for him, and I have to finish it. If I go back to Konoha, they'll treat me like an enemy and lock me up, and I promised." Naruto, as ever, understands the value of a promise. He looks torn for a moment before the stubbornness sets in again, and he offers, "If I tell Hokage Jiji that you're not a bad guy, will you come back? He'll believe me, I know it." The implication is all too clear. There's a fist around Kurama's heart, tight and getting tighter, but it isn't hard to realize what he has to do. No, the hard part is actually forcing himself to follow through. "Sorry," he whispers, arms tightening involuntarily. "Sorry, Naruto, I'll take you back. Maybe the Sandaime will listen. You're probably better off there." Fuck, but it aches. How had he ever thought he could steal a glance at Naruto and then go on his way without a care? Not even half a day with Naruto returned to him, and already Kurama feels like he's losing him all over again, just contemplating letting him go. It's a little like dying, knowing that Naruto would rather be in Konoha than with him, even though Kurama is fully aware that Naruto has no reason to stay. Another moment of silence, and then Naruto says, "But don't you want to go back, Ochan?" with confusion clear in his voice. "What? What?" Kurama asks, pulling back to look at the boy. Naruto is frowning at him. "But you look so sad," he says, touching Kurama's cheek gently. "Ochan, aren't you sad about leaving the village? Isn't that why you want to go back?" There's a flicker of nearly extinguished hope in Kurama's chest. "No," he answers quickly. "No, Naruto, you're my home, not the village. I don't care about them as long as you're happy. I want you to stay with me. I swear, that's all I want."
"Then I'll stay,"
Naruto says cheerfully, as though it's as simple as that.
"Hokage Jiji will be sad, but we can send him a letter and ask if he'll tell everyone you're not a bad guy, and I can become an awesome ninja, and when we go back, they'll have to make me Hokage. Then I'll make it a law that you're allowed to stay, and no one will care."
Whether he's 6, 16, or 36, Naruto's logic always sounds exactly the same. Kurama laughs before he can help it, and leans in to kiss Naruto squarely on the forehead. A moment later, the giddy joy is too much, and he spins Naruto around in his arms, still laughing. Naruto laughs too, bright and delighted, and it's so very much everything Kurama has missed. "Thanks," he says. "Thanks, Naruto. Come on, let's go find you some chakra, a flare of it, a tight little knot, filled not so much with malevolence as it is determination. Though there's a thread of undeniable hatred in there, too. Familiar chakra," and Kurama curses, spinning on his heel. He leaps upward into the branches of the tree above them and sets Naruto at the highest sturdy branch he can get to. "Stay here and be as quiet as you can," he warns. "Let's see just how good you are at ninja stealth, okay?" Naruto's eyes are a little bit wide, but he nods agreeably all the same, making a motion like he's zipping his mouth shut. Kurama gives him a relieved smile, ruffles his hair, and then uses the tip of one claw to scratch a seal onto the trunk below him. It pulses once, then fades to a pale glow that will hopefully be missed, and Kurama throws himself back towards the ground. He extends his senses, but Naruto is completely hidden from the sound of his breathing to the feel of his chakra. And though Kurama wishes he had the time to be more thorough, that will have to do. If he can distract the trackers, it will be enough. It has to be. Even as he veers east and breaks into a run, he casts his attention back, trying to judge the size of the group. It's hard, because only Kakashi is truly angry. All the others are some flavor of determined, and emotions like that slide from Kurama's grasp before he can really touch them. Still, they're almost close enough for him to sense normally, and he's fairly certain there are four of them. He's even more certain that three of the four are all too familiar. Kakashi, of course, is easy to mark, and Kurama hadn't really expected anything else. Obviously, the Jonin was going to pursue him. That's simple logic. But right behind him is a familiar trickle of power that registers like the biting sharp scent of new sap rising to Kurama's nose. And that's a bad sign. Naruto's second sensei, the baby Mokuton user, which would be bad enough on its own, but one step behind him is the mirrors and smoke feel of one particular brat whose presence really means Kurama is screwed. And as if that's not enough, there's an itch of another, unfamiliar Uchiha right behind Itachi. Really, Mokuton and not one, but two and a half, Sharingan all at once? If Kurama had to design his worst day ever, it would probably go something like this. This would all be so much easier if he could just turn into a 20-story fox and sit on them. The group is moving quickly, obviously having spotted his chakra, and Kurama gives a low growl of frustration and redoubles his pace, leaping fallen trees and ducking low branches as he races towards the rushing tumble of a river in the distance. He's too late to throw them off his scent by crossing it, but with any luck, not that Kurama honestly expects to have much, he can knock them into it with a hurricane or something. Whatever, he's still working on a plan. But it'll come to him. He's out of time, though, just as he breaks through the last stretch of trees and into the open ground before the river, a wall of wood shoots up in front of him and forces Kurama to leap aside before he brains himself. Even as he lands, fire roars towards him, vast enough to swallow him whole. There's no time to dodge, no chance to avoid it, and so Kurama doesn't try. He plants his feet and lets his chakra surge, because fire is his element. There's always the chance that it can't hurt him, but like this, prepared and braced with sufficient warning, Kurama is a god of fire and wind, of devastation, and even being trapped in a fragile mortal body can't take that away from him entirely. He steals the flames before they can even touch him, wraps himself in their light and heat, and laughs as his hunters leap away from the trees to confront him. The fire roars, leaping and crackling, and Kurama lets it swirl away, lets his chakra devour and consume it like fuel. Their eyes are wary and startled, and Kurama grins, bloody bright and showing teeth. come for a rematch, Hatake? He mocks. How cute. And you even brought friends this time. But face me again, and I warn you, I'm not going to hold back. I could swear I won last time, Kakashi says mildly. And it's almost impressive how well he manages to hide the anger seething inside him. Where's Naruto, Uzumaki? If that's even your name. I didn't lie to you, Kurama snaps, bristling. Naruto is mine, my blood, mine to care for. I won't let him grow up an outcast just because you're terrified of the Kyuubi. I love him more than anything in the world, and I'm not about to let him suffer. Kakashi's shoulders draw into a slightly tenser line. So you know, he says softly. Kurama snorts. That he's a Jinchuriki? I know better than anyone. You blind fools will never understand even the smallest portion of what it means to be a Jinchuriki. But I do. And I'll make sure Naruto does too. You want to punish him for it? Cast him out? Fine. But I'll teach Naruto just what it really means to wield the power of a Bijuu. Kakashi must give some sort of signal he doesn't see, because half a heartbeat later, the ground explodes under him, spears of wood and grasping roots trying to knot around his limbs. Kurama swears viciously, leaping clear and whirling to slash one hand downward. Waves of force smash into the reaching branches, shattering them into sawdust. And Kurama flips in the air, coming down right in front of Itachi and lashing out with a scything kick. The Uchiha ducks, darting away, but Kurama doesn't attempt to follow. He vaults a trio of kunai, touches down in front of the unfamiliar Uchiha, and rises with an uppercut leading. The boy is too surprised to dodge and goes flying. And Kurama slips around another ball of flames and casts his own right back. 4 against 1 isn't something he'd have had trouble with in his Bijuu form, but as a human, the odds suck balls. Thankfully, Kurama knows a way to fix that. Balancing and compressing chakra for a Bijuu Dama is simple. This is beyond that. It's like breathing or blinking. Entirely involuntary and unthinking. Fingers up, chakra flaring, and a shadow clone mirrors Kurama as he leaps back towards the river. It's tempting to go for Naruto's usual overkill and summon 1,000 of the things, but Kurama doesn't quite dare. He's not sure how his chakra will react to the clones, given that he's a Bijuu, and beyond that, he's a manifestation of anger and malice. He doesn't want evil, mindless little versions of the Kyuubi running around. While that would definitely distract his hunters, it probably wouldn't be good in the long run. The clone splits off, heading for Itachi, and Kurama wishes it luck as he spins to avoid Kakashi's kunai. The blade just manages to skim his hair before Kurama lunges forward, knocking Kakashi's arm wide with an elbow and then driving a knee into his side. Even as Kakashi chokes and staggers, more roots burst from the ground, reaching for Kurama's limbs. He snarls and tears his way free, then throws himself towards the Mokuton user, who has his hands raised in a seal and an expression of grim concentration on his face. When he sees Kurama coming, dark eyes narrow further, and the hand seal shifts. Another wooden wall bursts up, this time curving into a dome around him. Kurama's claws tear gouges in it, nowhere deep enough to even begin doing real damage. But he doesn't have time to try again. Kakashi is on his heels, kunai out and slashing. Damn you! Kurama hisses, sliding under the blow. He comes up with a weak shockwave, still not aiming to kill, and feels a rush of pure frustration when Kakashi disappears into the ground, swallowed up by his own earth jutsu. At the same moment, a thick beam of wood shoots right at his gut, catching him hard in the stomach. Kurama loses all of his breath in an explosive rush as he's lifted right off his feet, ribs creaking threateningly, and goes flying back into the trunk of a tree. Beneath him, the earth erupts, and Kakashi grabs his ankle, yanking down. Kurama automatically kicks him in the face, earning a loud yelp, and then lunges for the Mokuton user again. The man spins away from his claws, leg lashing out. But Kurama ducks the high kick and slams bodily into him, one hand fisting in his uniform. A snarl, a surge of effort, and Kurama hurls the man directly into the unfamiliar Uchiha, right as the boy is calling up a fireball. Tenzo! Kakashi shouts, and a moment later a dragon of fire slams into the ground where Kurama had been standing. Kurama whirls past it, bringing his claws to bear, and almost succeeds in slicing Kakashi across the face. The Kappinin dodges at the last second, managing to avoid all but a shallow scrape across his chin, and Kurama lashes out with a snarl. Naruto is mine, he roars. Stop trying to take him away. Wind screams past him, sharp-edged like blades and fueled by rage and chakra in equal measure. It knocks Kakashi right off his feet, dispels Kurama's clone in a puff of smoke, and sends the two Uchiha staggering. It's a small opening, but it's an opening nevertheless. And if Kurama can move fast enough, maybe set a fire behind him, he'll have enough time to get to Naruto and then hightail it for the Suna border. He turns to run, but before he can take much more than a single step, branches like steel cables catch him. They twist around his limbs, his torso, catch him in their choking grasp, and drag him down to his knees, even as he screams in rage, claws slashing ineffectually at thin air before they're immobilized. Shisui, Kakashi orders, a whip crack of sound in the hurricane's wake as he staggers to his feet. Captain, the Uchiha acknowledges, stepping into Kurama's line of vision. His dark eyes spin to red, shifting into a kaleidoscope of ebony and crimson, and Kurama knows all too well what that means. He snarls in denial, struggles redoubling as creepers lock his head into place, but he's well and truly trapped. The only thing he can see is that hated dojutsu, already stripping away his will in a surge of bone-deep horror. Just those eyes, red and black and rising to swallow him in a tide of fear and loathing. Kurama meets them helplessly, hatefully, and can only think, Sage, not again.